Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Wild Horse and Burro Radio, an educational outreach program of Wild Horse Freedom Federation. Before I bring my guest on tonight, I want to preface this show with just a little bit of information for people that are new to this issue. The Bureau of Land Management hasn't posted its data on adoptions or sales for 2017 yet, but out of over 46,000 wild horses and burros in BLM holding facilities, in 2016, the BLM only adopted 2,440 horses and 472 burros. This is a total of 2,912 animals out of the 46,000 they have in holding. Tonight, Carol will be talking about the checkerboard roundup. In just this one roundup, the BLM rounded up 1,968 wild horses. This number is about two-thirds of all the animals they were able to adopt in a year. So for our newer listeners, and you might also want to know, the BLM does not adopt horses out of long-term holding facilities. They're now called off-range pastures. They only sell them out of long-term holding. Our guest tonight is Carol Walker, Director of Field Documentation for Wild Horse Freedom Federation. Carol spent 3 weeks in September and October of 2017 observing the roundup and removal of 1,968 wild horses from three of the largest remaining herd management areas in Wyoming and the country. This is an area known as the Checkerboard Area of Wyoming and includes the Great Divide Basin, Adobe Town, and Salt Wells Creek herd management areas. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you, Deb. Thanks for having me on. And just wanted to kind of clarify, the checkerboard is part of these three areas. It's not the entirety of these three areas. These three areas are in the Red Desert, and there's checkerboard on each of the three areas. Adobe Town just has a very small portion of checkerboard on it, and Saltwells Creek is, I believe, 70% checkerboard, and Great Divide Basin is about 60% checkerboard.
Oh, good, good. Well, thanks for clarifying that.
No problem.
So, Carol, can you start out by telling our new listeners some of the issues with these roundups?
Sure. I have been observing roundups in that area since 2005. Mm-hmm. And this year I was prepared to go out there and observe, and my understanding was that they were going to remove 1,560 horses. That's what the environmental assessment, which the BLM has to prepare before they go ahead with the roundup, that's what it said. And about the third or fourth day I was there, I was talking to Steve Page, and we were asking the BLM staff there about the numbers that had been brought in, and they didn't count the foals. And we were puzzled. We were like, what do you mean you didn't count the foals? No, we didn't count the foals. And so they grouped the yearlings and the foals together in one group, but they weren't counting any of them. And we were like, well, why not? Why aren't you counting them? Well, because we're going to round up 1,560 adults, and we're not counting the foals. So this meant this was a horrifying realization, because we're talking about then they would be able to take probably somewhere between 350 to 500 more horses than they had actually planned on, or than that we thought they were planning on. And we immediately talked to Steve talked to Netta at Return to Freedom, and I talked to Suzanne at American Wild Horse Campaign, and we realized that this was illegal. So you can't take more horses than you have set in your scoping and your environmental assessment. So we actually brought a lawsuit to stop this. And so it was American Wild Horse Campaign, and it was me and Kimberly Curl, and Bill Eubanks was our attorney, and we tried to stop the Roundup, and we actually tried to get a preliminary injunction to stop it, because obviously. As you know, when you do a lawsuit, it's going to be months before it's heard. So the BLM agreed to stop at 1560 total until the preliminary injunction could be heard by Judge Freudenthal. And Judge Freudenthal had heard our case last time on the checkerboard roundup. And so we were waiting to hear from her. And they were, you know, they weren't going to take more than 1560, and then we lost. The judge did not think that it was going to cause irreparable harm to remove all of these horses. But they considered that it was going to cause the BLM irreparable harm if they did not go ahead and proceed and take the horses right then and there. So as you can imagine, this was a heartbreaking thing. When we, you know, we did everything that we could, and we couldn't stop them. And so
we all know how much the BLM would suffer if they couldn't round up all those horses.
Exactly. They were this roundup was very different than any in the past that I had observed. So the Coutures were the contractor, and they had two helicopters, and they rounded up horses faster than I have ever seen it been done before, ever. I mean, they were getting 100 to 200 horses a day. They did not take a break. They have this new system so that they could set up a trap in like an hour and a half and go, and then break it down and then go the next day somewhere else. I mean, I was just shocked, because in the past, you know, they'd set up the trap the day before. You might have a day off for weather. Oh no! This was just like a machine. And
didn't you tell me they were shipping that the horses weren't even there for 24 hours to settle? They just shipped them out.
Yeah. So what they had done in the past is they had this area where they called it temporary holding, and this is where when the horses would get loaded into the horse trailers out of the trap, they would get taken to this area where they have pens, and they would get sorted and counted and prepared for shipment. And normally the horses would be there for days. And at first I even heard them say, oh, we're going to ship them next week. No, they were shipping them the same day the horses came in. I was just shocked. It was like they were in such a hurry. And there were times where we would wait outside of temporary holding at the end of the day to see the horses, because we'd be allowed in for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes to be able to run around and see them in the corral really fast. There were times when the horses we watched the trucks leave with the horses being trucked out, and then we'd go in and there'd be like hardly any horses left. My ability to observe the horses after they got rounded up was almost nil. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was shocking to me. The other thing that was such a surprise was I was expecting, as in the past, half the horses to be taken to Canyon City, which is in Colorado, and then half the horses to be taken to Rock Springs. Both of these facilities allow public observation and adoption. And at the time of the 2014 roundup, Ginger Catherines and I went at the first opportunity to observe after the horses had been there. We went to the first adoption day, and we took pictures and video, and we posted it, and we got the word out about these horses, and we really helped a lot of these horses get placed, especially mm-hmm. the older ones, which normally don't get placed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
and then in the Rock Springs facility didn't open until the end of February, and I went and I posted pictures again and helped get the horses adopted. So this is what I was expecting to have happen. But at the mm-hmm. very last minute, apparently right when they were going to ship the first shipment to Canyon City, I was told there was a problem with the contract and that they were going to be shipping the horses to Axtell, Utah and Bruno, Idaho, both of which are private facilities that do not allow the public to visit other than one day a year. Mm-hmm.
And they're also in the middle of nowhere, kind of. It's very hard to get to either place.
Axtell is actually south of Salt Lake City, so not as hard to get to, but Bruno is the middle of nowhere. And so I was very upset, and I talked to Suzanne about this, and this was part of our lawsuit, actually. We were challenging the BLM about shipping these horses to facilities, most of the horses to facilities that were that the public would have no access to, and the horses would not be able to get adopted. So, but, you know, since we lost our lawsuit, we didn't lose the lawsuit. We lost the preliminary injunction. The lawsuit's not going to be heard till the middle of May. These horses mm-hmm. could all be dead by the middle of May.
Mm-hmm.
So, except for the 29 that have been adopted through Rock Springs so far. You know, so this is just, it's crazy. Not being able to have access.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, people have been contacting me and saying, Carol, I can't find this horse, and they won't help me. So people know horses in these areas, and they have mm-hmm. been wanting to adopt them and take them,
mm-hmm.
and they're not
mm-hmm.
being allowed to. The BLM will not help them find the horses or identify them.
Tell us about all of your communications, like you've offered. Can you tell us about kind of a sequence of who you've contacted and what the response has been from different BLM people about trying to help facilitate adoptions so these horses don't end up in the slaughter pipeline?
Well, there's a couple. So I was just talking about the people who've been contacting me individually. So there have been people
mm-hmm.
who've been trying to adopt the horses themselves, and they've been contacting the BLM, and they have been getting brushed off and told that they
mm-hmm.
can't do it. And this is very upsetting. And so I talked to Ginger, and we decided that we would each try to see what we could do to
mm-hmm.
To see if we could go to Axtell and Bruno and take pictures and video and try to get these horses adopted. And we basically were told no by Lisa Reed. I contacted Gus War from Utah, who's the Wild Horse Borough lead in Utah, emailed and left a phone message, and I never heard anything from him. And then Ginger contacted Holly Hawks. She contacted her, and also Lisa Friday contacted her. And we were told that we could not go to Axtell or Bruno, but that we might be allowed to go to Delta, where 800 of the horses would be at the beginning of March.
Well, that's interesting because Delta only has a capacity for 300 animals. And according to the BLM's December 2017 off-range facility report, it indicated that just last month there were 110 horses and 21 burros there. So that's 131 animals. So where's the BLM going to send these animals? And just so people know, the BLM does not send burros to long-term holding. So we can always ask why they don't, and I think it's important, especially now, to ask that as the world's donkeys are being decimated for the Chinese traditional medicine called ijiao. But you know, where are the, so, you know, it's always like shuffling what's under what half of the walnut that's being shoveled around, because, you know, when they send these 800 to where there's only capacity to 300, but where are they going to send the 131 animals that are there?
Right.
And how can,
so,
how can you ship 800?
The other issue is, even if they did stuff 800 horses there, mm-hmm. what happened to the other 1,100?
Well, I just got an email. I had originally, knowing this was the topic, I extended an invitation to Holly Hooks of the BLM. You know, I'm sure most people have heard Dean Bolstad, who was long the chief, division chief of the Wild Horse and Burro Program, recently retired. So Holly Hooks is now in charge of all the holding, off-range holding facilities. That's both long-term, which they call off-range pastures, and short-term that they call off-range corrals. So I offered to have her come on the show. I told her what the topic was, that we're all concerned, and I'm sure that, you know, all of you might like to call in and ask her questions about the BLM's plans. She just emailed me back about an hour before the show started, and said that she wasn't able to be on the show tonight. She told me that, let's see, currently there's 494 horses at Bruno. 988 were shipped to Axtel. And the weird thing is, I looked at the BLM facility, so that adds up to 1,482 horses. And I looked at the December Rock Springs, and there were 435 horses there in December in Rock Springs. That only adds up to 1,815. So I'm wondering where 153 horses went that they rounded up, that they're not in one of these facilities. I know they just recently adopted 29 mares, but that still leaves us with 120 or so. We don't know where they are, I guess. Do you care?
No, I don't know either.
Okay,
so,
well, I'm going to ask.
So the other issue is that people have been trying to track down specific horses, and they're not being allowed to. And in the past, the BLM was extremely helpful. The staff at Canyon City helped people put families back together. They helped people find horses that they were looking for. They were extremely accommodating. Rock Springs the same way. Even though they were very understaffed, they were very helpful, very considerate, willing to help people find horses and hold horses that they knew, which really helps horses get adopted. If it, you know, if you know
you
a horse,
you got a lot of horses adopted. Yeah.
Yeah, and if people love a particular horse, they want that horse. They don't want some random horse. So they were very helpful. The BLM is completely blocking any effort to let anybody do this, and they are not letting people hold horses, adopt horses, anything else. So one response I got from Crystal Wengreen from Bruno was, in our experience, when people are ready and prepared to adopt, they will adopt. Unfortunately, we do not have the staff time available to track certain horses and retain those horses with the hope that someone who has placed a hold on one will indeed adopt them in the end. Adoptions are based on a first-come, first-served protocol at most of the adoption events.
Well, the adoption events are all over. I mean, I know when you and Ginger, you took photographs of all those horses. We did a radio show about it. We publicized it.
We
and
publicized
I think
the
were,
heck out of it. And Suzanne,
yeah, there was a lot
and everybody got the pictures out to everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the other
mm-hmm.
thing, I asked her about the older horses. She said, in regards to your question about the older horses, we plan to make older horses available if requested by an adoption facility. Our experience has shown that if there are younger horses available, under five, those are almost always adopted first. Very, very few people contact Idaho BLM for horses older than 6 years old.
Well, especially
you know,
they can't see a picture of them and don't know
nonsense.
They exist. How are
it's
they going to ask for them?
It's nonsense. We had so many people adopt older horses. You know, I mean, it's just, it's, and then we have the curly issue. So Saltwells Creek is one of the very few herds that has wild curly horses. They actually have curly hair, which is just an amazing thing, these horses. And they took almost half of the entire curly population out of Saltwells Creek during this roundup. They released five of them back because they took too many that day. But there are some famous, well-known horses, including one, a red and white paint named Pinto, named Maestro. And the stallions are at Axtell, and the mares, some were at Rock Springs and have been adopted, but some went to Bruno, and people can't get them now. And the stallions, in the past, the curlies, because they're very rare, and they have particular bloodlines, they have allowed the stallions to remain intact for people to adopt who were curly, people who really cared about the curlies. This time, no, they're not allowing any, all the stallions are being gelded. And, you know, as I said, they wiped out half of the curlies. And people can't even get to them to take these horses. I mean, it's just infuriating. When there are people who want horses and they are being told no, how does this make any sense?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, that's why I brought up the BLM's dismal adoption rates at the beginning of the show, because they should be, you know, here we are.
They should be bending
help.
Over backwards, helping us. And Ginger and I, you know, offering our help, you know, not because we're going to make money on this, for goodness sakes, but just because we want to help these horses find homes. They don't. They,
so they're
not even willing to let us go, not even for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
didn't you get an email from someone telling you, oh, that they were on private property, so they weren't, you know, it wasn't in the contract that they had the
yes, that is
have
correct.
The public view.
Right.
Okay, well, I happened to look up a couple things, and in one of our FOIA requests for contracts, it says all contracts awarded after January 2012 read, and the second one is the contractor shall notify the COR and or the PI, so that's the COR is contracting officer's representative, and the PI is the project inspector. Within 24 hours of any request from humane organizations, general public, media, or wild horse interest groups to observe the horses. All requests from organizations and groups may be allowed to tour the site only under the approval and guidance of the Corps and or PI. So you may go do that. You may be allowed to do it, but they're not letting you. And
right.
It's my opinion, Holly Hooks is, you know, head of all this.
She's in charge.
She could authorize it.
She can authorize it, and she won't. And it's outrageous. And these are our horses. They do not belong to the owner of Axtell and the owner of Bruno. These these horses belong to the American public. And we should not be blocked from seeing them, seeing their condition, being able to adopt them. You know, I understand that they're waiting for the foals that have been born to be old enough to be weaned before they allow them to be adopted. I understand that. And I understand that they may not have gotten to all the stallions to geld them yet. But there is no reason that we can't go observe these horses and photograph these horses and get the word out. And there is no reason that they can't allocate people to help facilitate adoptions to happen. There is no reason for this. You know,
especially in light of the fact that they have paid to ship horses to, like, kill buyers like Tom Davis in the past. They've spent, you know, $5,000 a pop sending
a truckload
of horses to him.
And the people like Tom Davis, they shipped for free. You know, they spent, I don't know how much money they spent shipping horses for people who
That's what I was just talking about. So they don't mind spending money for that or spending money for roundups, but all of a sudden they can't spare any staff. You know, when we were watching the roundups and Twin Peaks a long time ago, they flew PR people out from all over the country. be there.
No, they flew people in. They flew people in for this one. And the PR people were all saying, oh, they're not going to stop you from seeing the horses. I said, yes, they are. They're like, oh, no, the BLM won't stop the public from seeing these horses. You know, and they're like, oh, they'll be made available for adoption. I said, well, what about the horses that are over 10? Are they going to be made available for adoption? Of course they're not. They're going to get shipped straight to long-term holding. And if Congress votes to kill them, they'll probably just get shipped to Mexico. And we'll never see them again.
Or shot.
Where they
which means
shot at the facilities and buried with a backhoe in a big hole. So, and, you know, my feeling was when there was this big hurry and they didn't want me to see the horses, it was almost like, well, if they can't see them and they don't see pictures of them, then they'll forget about them. And when we kill them, it'll be easier. I mean, that really was the feeling I got. And I'm sorry, that's just not going to happen. I took a lot of pictures of these horses. I have spent time in these areas since 2004, photographing and observing these horses. And I am not going to forget about them, and I'm not going to let anybody else forget about them.
And it seems like most long-term holding facilities are at capacity. And here, you know, we'll bring this up a little later. They're getting ready to round up another 1,500 horses in Nevada. But aside from that, you know, for people that are newer, we just issued a white paper in July, and we went to a lot of these long-term holding facilities. And the number of horses they said were there, we didn't see them. We saw some horses, but not the number that they report on their facility reports for that time. And we took photographs, video. We have all sorts of evidence accumulated. And so, you know, we're worried about these horses if they don't get adopted.
We're worried about these horses. And if the BLM would like to dispel our concern, let us go photograph them. Let us go see these horses. Let us go prove that they're still there, that they haven't been shipped off yet.
Yeah.
Let us
go see
them.
They could have been shipped off already. Yeah, for all we know. Yeah.
Let us go see them. If you want to dispel public concern, let us go see them. So we have, you know, in my blog post, I put phone numbers of all these people that I contacted, most of whom got back to me. And I'm suggesting that people call them. And because I haven't gotten anywhere. Being thrown a bone that I can go to Delta and see 800 horses in March if they aren't dead already, that's not enough. I'm sorry. That doesn't cut it. I want to see all of the horses.
Yeah, and there really should be, even if you had to wait a while for adoptions, there's no reason you can't go view the horses
and photograph
take
photographs.
Them. They don't need a lot of staff for that. Actually, a facility person contractor could walk you around, you know.
Yes,
and I'm
very experienced at doing that. I mean, I've done that at Canyon City and Rock Springs many times.
I want to get into
internet
sales, but before we do that, I want to let people know you're welcome to call in with any questions you have for Carol. The call-in number is, where did I put it? Marty? Oh, I've got it here. The call-in number is 917-388-4520. And when you hear the automated voice come on, just press 1, and that will put you in queue. So, Carol, you let me know there's a new Wild Horse and Burro internet system, Adopt a Horse Users. They put out a big thing. Can you tell everybody a little bit about this? Why we're worried about this new internet sales of horses?
Well, the really bad thing is that it looks like there are horses that are 3 and 4 years old being offered for adoption or sale, which is really kind of shocking. What else struck you when you were reading about this?
Well, you know, it kind of struck me the same thing when I looked at their new brochure. They're kind of folding in sales with adoptions. Like maybe we won't notice the sales because they use the word adoption right before it. So our eyes will just skip over the word sale.
And to let people know, new people know, so a sale authority horse is a horse that is 10 years or older, or a horse that has been that's younger than that, that's been offered for adoption more 3 times, and then they are considered struck out, so they can be offered
mm-hmm.
as a sale authority horse. So the younger horses are not supposed to be offered for sale.
Yeah. Okay. We'll hold that thought. We'll hold that. I think I heard the bell. We have a caller.
Yep.
Marty, do we have
yes, you do.
Clients?
Craig
okay.
Downer is on with you.
Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Hi there. Good to talk. Excellent information. This is a very disturbing situation to me. I had a question about the possibility of having a larger scale of the wild horses that have been captured, valued for their role in fire prevention, catastrophic fire prevention. Has there been any discussion of that? Because it's getting worse and worse now, the situation with the higher temperatures, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
that means more rain in some areas and more vegetation, but then it later dries out. So there's a lot of terrible fires being ignited. And I think this that the horses could be lifesavers in this regard.
Well, the only concern I had about that, Craig, we might want to do a show just about this issue at some point, because it's a big issue. And for those of you that don't know, horses are very beneficial on public lands because they actually help prevent, you know, fires from happening.
And the other thing they build the soils so they retain more moisture, so that can dampen out incipient fires such as caused by lightning strikes.
Mm-hmm. Craig, can you just quickly tell our newer listeners how the horses, you know, stop
sure.
fires from happening?
Yeah. Well, they eat quite a bit. But because they have a different digestive system than the ruminant grazers and browsers that are widely promoted by people, that's cloven-hoofed animals with the pre-gastric multi-stomach, often, you know, cud chewer type of digestion, they don't as thoroughly digest what they ingest or eat. And consequently, they really feed the ecosystem. They, the compounds, the chemical compounds that come out in their droppings are not as decomposed. So that feeds all kinds of organisms, from soil microorganisms to insects to mice and lizards and on up the food. It just enhances it greatly. And it builds what they call the humus content of the soil. And as any good gardener knows, or farmer, humus is really vital substance in soils for the long-term productivity.
So that's one thing.
And they also seed many they don't destroy as many seeds as those ruminants. So,
yeah.
And that includes any of the native plants. And they spread their grazing pressure over a wide area, and they don't have those cloven hoofs that often cut deeply and desiccate or dry out the soils.
Mm-hmm.
But they're rounded hoofs with a frog, and they kind of, you know, impact, but they're not like those sharp cloven hooves that can often chop up soil.
This is such a big topic. I think we'd probably have to do a separate show just on this, Craig, but I'm glad you brought it up. My concern is that they can eat drier,
coarser vegetation without having, you know, that can greatly reduce the fire hazard, and often that's what it is. It's the tinder. It gets those horrible catastrophic fires going, you know.
Yeah, we have some other callers, Craig, but, you know, thank you so much for calling in with this information. And, yeah, my concern about that, and we'll discuss it on another show, is, you know, I don't want any horses removed from their herd management areas to a less protected area to be flocked somewhere, who knows where.
Been gathered already, you know, to be put out to prevent catastrophic wildfires.
Yeah.
We're
kind of pushing for them to be put back on the 22 million acres that the BLM has taken away from them. But
there's fires there too, which they can prevent. They can prevent fires there, you know.
That's right. Okay, well, thanks for calling in, Craig. We've got two other callers on, so talk again soon. Okay.
Good program.
Thanks,
okay.
Craig. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. You too.
Marty,
bye.
Do we have some other callers?
Yes, you have Sherry. She's live and on air.
Okay, hi, Sherry.
Hi, Carol, and hi, Debbie. I didn't want to interrupt Craig. We need a whole show with Craig. I just want to make a couple of quick points. I was scrolling back to 2014, and I remember that Canyon City wasn't going to allow anyone in. Didn't you run into that back in 2014, Carol?
No, what happened was they weren't going to let me photograph.
Okay.
And so I actually asked people to call in
and
try to
persuade
them otherwise, and they finally did let me go in and photograph, and Ginger as well, and Pam Nichols, and we were allowed to go photograph. But they always do allow adoptions. They usually,
okay.
I think it's two Fridays a month, you can go in and the public can go in there and see the horses and adopt them.
Well, I don't know if this applies to this particular situation, but there is a government code, and it's Title V, Open Government Ethics, and it's Section 552-001, Policy Construction, and there's a clause there, the people in delegating authority do not give the public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not good for them to know. The people insist on remaining informed so they may retain control over the instruments they have created. The provisions of this chapter shall be literally construed to implement this policy. This is a government code. And quickly, I just wanted to ask something else. With Axtel, is that still owned by Carrie
Disfain? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, scrolling back to 2012 when Arboros were rounded up and removed, he got a government contract for $435,000. Now, this is private contracts with private. He was the former head of Gunnison Prison, right?
Well, the Wild Horse and Burro program, he managed the program at Gunnison Prison. And what happened with that? They ended up being investigated by the General Accounting Office because they were overbilling. So apparently he didn't pay too close attention to something. You know, it's hard not, you know, he had to know something about that, I would think. So maybe not. Well, who knows?
And currently, actually, since then, there have been millions of dollars in contracts for Axtel Utah with the BLM.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not $400,000.
Yeah,
it's millions and millions of dollars have been paid.
Oh, that was just one borough roundup.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And one issue that's going on right now with Axtel, and we have filed a FOIA, you know, when they first did an EA for the boroughs, they had to have a map of the area, which was around Terry Despain's house and, you know, kind of that area. Then they were going to put an extra bunch of horses there, like 1,000 horses. So they had to do another EA. In that EA was a map of the area where they were going to put those horses. Well, suddenly they've moved all these other horses, and they only had a capacity for 1,000 on that map. So now suddenly they've put out 1,000 more horses.
3,000. There's 3,000 horses there now, Deb.
Yeah, so I don't know. Wild West Freedom Federation filed a FOIA for the map of the area where they put the horses because I didn't see an EA for that. So, you know, that's one of our FOIA requests that we have in the works right now. We're waiting to hear about that and get a map because I don't know if they crammed them on the area that was only meant for 1,000 horses or if they leased additional lands. Or we don't know. He could have bought property with all the money he's got from the other contracts. So he could have purchased additional. But we should know where they are. The BLM should have that. You know, and that's what we're trying to get.
So, Sherry, thanks for calling in. I guess we got someone else,
Sherry.
Right?
Yeah, I think I just heard the building again.
Thank you for the show.
Yeah, Jatara is on with you.
Oh, good. Hi, Jatara.
Hi, Jatara.
Hi there, Deb and Carol.
This is Jatara with Love Wild Horses.
And I just want to say, if only tears could bring our horses back that have been sold to slaughter by the BLM and have fallen between the cracks, as all of us are trying so desperately to just live our lives and, you know, help these animals. It's, God, if only tears could bring them back. Anyway, I just, Deb, thank you so much, and Carol, and everybody who's working so hard for the wild horses and burros. And I lost my sons 15 months ago in a terrible car accident, and I've been working to help the wild horses, just to give people a little history about who I am before I speak today.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my heart is so shattered, and both my boys died in a car accident, and but I've been trying, and we're still functioning. Love Wild Horses is, with the help of Jeannie Vensich Nations and all of our, you know, people who are our members who are sharing everything. A lot of what you write, Deb, and also Carol, your work, and we're big fans and supporters of what you're doing and what you're about. And
yeah, we appreciate all the support.
Thank you, Jatara, and I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry.
Thank you so much. And in the face of that, as I'm trying to integrate and come back to life, I look at this and I'm like, it's very difficult to understand, because some of the basic things that would just seem as if they would just be sort of common sense. For an example, if you want to adopt a wild horse, well, you would think that the BLM, because they have about 48,000, or we hope they have 48,000 still left, that they would support that process. And my personal experience, 7.5 months after six months after my boys died, I adopted a wild horse sight unseen from an online auction, and I just felt like he was the horse for me, and to be our ambassador, to be work in the community and help teach people how beautiful these animals are and how amazing they are, because a lot of people don't, here where I live in Marin, California, don't even know that there are wild horses in the wild anymore. So it's like we all have our work cut out for us still, even though we're working. As I say this, I'm so sorry, because I know everybody's working like 24/7, who I know, to help the wild horses. And most of us are working for nothing. We don't receive any money. We're just doing it from our hearts. And yet, the wild horses are still, we're just so besieged with problems for them. And so one of the biggest problems is that the horses that the BLM has captured right now, and all of them are unsafe from sale to slaughter. You know, it's like crazy. It's just, how could this be in America? And anyway, my experience, they delayed the pickup date for my horse and several times. And I went to Utah from California on my own dime, and I'm doing this payment for all this myself and working full time to help the wild horses, no salary, no nothing. And at the same time, the horses are still being hurt. It's just like we're all pouring our heart. And so if any legislator is listening or any attorney, we all need your help to step up and strengthen the law so our wild horses aren't sold for slaughter, A. And B, we need to be able to adopt the horses with some just ease and grace in it, and not changing the date or giving us a hard time about seeing the horses in the adoption facilities, et cetera. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you, Jatara.
Thank you for your courage and your strength, and with all you're going through in your life, for still trying to save the wild horses. You're amazing. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So everybody check out Love Wild Horses on Facebook. And thanks for all your support.
Sounds like we've got someone else.
It's actually, I'm so sorry, wait, real quick. It's Wild Horse Protection Act on Facebook. We named it after the law.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks. Okay,
okay.
Thanks,
thank
Yadara.
You. Best okay, your way. Bye. Thank you.
Yeah. Marty, do we have someone else on? Or Carol, is Carol just hearing bells? Marty? We lost Marty. Oh, no.
I'm hearing bells. One thing that we need to remind people of is that we are still waiting for a verdict from Congress.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure when the budget is going to get passed. There might be a continuing resolution pushing the vote for the budget till next month, or the very last minute, at midnight tomorrow night, or Friday morning, or whatever they may come up with, they may vote. So if you can, call your senators and your congressmen and please tell them that you want our wild horses and burros to retain their protections. We do not want them to be killed, and this is very important. And the more that you can have contact with your senators and congressmen, the better. But we're still on tenterhooks right now, waiting to see what the verdict is going to be. And Deb, remember when I said to you, there's a roundup starting in Nevada on January 23rd, and where are they going to get the money for this? My understanding is that the BLM is funded from October 1 to October 1, and they have not gotten their 2018 funds for roundups yet. So how are they planning to round up 1,000 horses?
I don't know, but I recently learned there was something called the Anti-Deficiency Act. And so they can't spend something ahead of time that they don't have, or it's a criminal charge against the actual employee. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but it'll be interesting to find out what's going to happen.
And they keep issuing EAs for roundups for Nevada, for Idaho, for all over. They're going ahead as though it's business as usual. And even after having congressmen ask for reducing the budget by reducing roundups, they're not.
I just looked at the BLM website for Wild Horses and Burros, and they updated their roundup schedule as of 1 January 10th. So, just last week they rounded up. They, updated their roundup schedule. So, they've got roundups
scheduled.
Scheduled.
Yes, and they're going to be going in. They're planning to go to
Triple D.
And they're planning to go
Springs contracts.
There's going to be a huge roundup in Wyoming, the Red Desert Complex, over 2,000 horses. Yes, they have big plans for this year, and they don't even have their funds yet.
Well, back to the March 2018 new internet adoptions, what it said in that link you sent me, they're allowing prospective adopters or purchasers greater access to America's wild horses and burros, and they're providing improved customer service to the public. Well, they're not doing that with adoptions right now. I thought you'd get a laugh out of that, Carol. They're going to call it the Online Corral, and it will sport a more streamlined look and feel while offering a host of new features and abilities to the users, including new filtering options to make it easier to find your desired animal, as well as a new online application process. And this worries me because even the PMACA adoptions, there's no follow-through. I can't tell you how many applications I looked at. They didn't do any compliance check. Once those horses went, they never, it was sometimes a couple of years before they called to find, they'd mail them the letter and get it back in the mail and then figure out, we lost the person and we don't know where the horse is. Or, they've got a whole lot of housekeeping to do before they would do something like this. Our white paper proved they can't even keep track of the horses they have. There are so many issues with this program.
It's way too much trouble to help people adopt them, too.
Yeah. it looks like they just want to get rid of them and let them go to slaughter. We'll say we're not sending them to slaughter, but how can we streamline this process?
Well, and also 1,000 horses
you know, that they're going to planning to bring in from Nevada, where are they going to be? Where are they going to put them?
Mm-hmm.
If the facilities
mm-hmm.
are full, where are they going to put
mm-hmm.
them?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they just assuming
remember,
that the rest of them are being killed, so that'll free up space? Is that what the assumption is?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. So if they're going to put them in, you know, then they'll send some to long-term, but the ones that are already in long-term, they'll get shipped out and we won't know about it. You know, it's not like they make any announcements on their website. Oh, we shipped out a truckload from, you know, Bartlesville today to who knows where. We sold
because they don't allow the public to. They don't allow the public access to long-term holding facilities, so there would be no way, unless you were camped out on their front door, that you would know that the
mm-hmm.
horses were being shipped out.
Mm-hmm. Or you go through bills of lading like we do, that we painstakingly get through FOIAs and wait a year to get, and then we have to look through them all. What about the wild horse that was known as Maestro?
So I mentioned Maestro already. So he's a curly. He's a red and white pinto stallion, and he was rounded up out of Saltwells Creek, and he's
mm-hmm.
very well known. And
mm-hmm.
I was just shocked that he was not one of the six horses that they released because he's very
mm-hmm.
well known. They were having some sort of issue with the horses crossing the highway. I don't know if they assumed that he was leading them across the highway or something. I don't know. I have no idea. But this horse, and he's an older stallion, there's no reason at all he ever should have been removed from his home.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been left. But anyway, I know many people who want Maestro, and they're unable to get him. So I'm assuming he's at Axtell. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're going to hold some sort of online auction for him. I don't know. But when you have horses that people want, I don't understand what the holdup is, that you don't
mm-hmm.
let people
mm-hmm.
know where they are or how they can get them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
basically, if you look on the radio show promo, we've got a list of people with their email addresses and phone numbers. So any of you that would like to, and we're encouraging you to call and ask, you know, to please let Carol and Ginger go photograph the horses so we can help facilitate adoptions. You know, if you have questions about why they're not doing this or, you know, what their plans are, you know, feel free to contact those people too.
And also why they're not letting people take particular horses,
mm-hmm.
you know, why they aren't helping people adopt the horses that they want.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are very good questions.
Well, they're going to have to hire wranglers when they're going to ship all these horses out anyhow. If they're going to ship
yes.
them to long-term holding, they would have to hire wranglers, get the truck,
Yes.
All of these facilities, they have you know, they have to have chutes, loading places to load and
oh
unload.
Yeah, no. They can take the horses. My big concern, though, Deb, as you know, long-term holding facilities do not let people take particular horses. So once the
mm-hmm.
horse has been shipped to a long-term holding or off-range holding, you can't get that horse. You could buy
mm-hmm.
a truckload of horses, but you couldn't get that particular horse.
Well,
what I'm
yeah,
concerned
those,
about is
whatever.
The older horses are just going to get shipped out, and no one's even going to get an opportunity to see them or adopt them at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these
yeah.
are the horses I am most concerned about. You know, the young ones are the most likely to get adopted. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who want these older horses, and they're not being allowed to get them.
Mhm. Yeah. And they should be excited that you and Ginger have offered. And as you
yes.
know, I offered to do a radio show where we can talk about all the horses more in detail,
yes.
and give information to people and help facilitate this. That's
yes.
what we did when there were horses that we were trying
in
to help adopt.
In 2014 and 2015.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's what we did.
And
yep.
so there's just, you know, it's in the contract that they have the power to authorize, you know, it says, all requests from organizations and groups may be allowed to tour the site only under the approval and guidance of the Corps and the PI. So, you know, Holly Hooks is the boss of all of this. She has the authority to do that. She can pick up a phone and tell them to arrange it with Carol and Ginger. Take 2 minutes. They can find a way. They can get creative and find a way that if they're, maybe there's just one day they have, you know, or a few days that they have wranglers there and have it set up so people can pick up their horses for adoption. It doesn't mean people are going to be going in and out every day. So there's a way to organize this.
Yes.
And I know that Carol and Ginger would be happy to coordinate. you know, it just takes a little creative thinking, you know.
Yes.
I think. Well, Carol, we've got about 5 minutes left.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to bring up before we
start winding up the show? Just about contacting your senators and congressmen, especially, you know, especially if we get a continuing resolution and the budget gets pushed off for another month, we need to keep calling. We need to keep calling. And your most effective way to reach them is actually not email. It's either a phone call or a fax is the best way to reach your senators and congressmen. They consider those the highest way to be reached. So please keep it up. We don't want horses to go to slaughter. We don't want them killed. We want them to continue to be protected. So that's very important in this next month if the budget gets pushed off.
And I think we also need to add, we don't want them shipped overseas.
No.
As everyone knows, there's been this Lon Ball who's had a plan to send our wild horses. He wanted to send like 20,000 wild horses to this Siberian tiger refuge in Siberia or in Russia near Vladivostok or something, and to be used as prey. And he came out right out and said that. Well, this plan is still being floated, and now I'm hearing it being floated by other people besides him. So there's a lot going on with that. So we do not want our wild horses and burros shipped overseas.
Shipped overseas. No, we want them kept here. Yes.
Well,
and
Carol,
we want the horses in holding returned to the 22 million acres that they have been removed from since 1971.
Absolutely.
That's what we want to have happen to these horses.
Yeah, and just so our listeners know, we are sending our recommendations to the Appropriations Committee for both the House and the Senate, and we'll include that. We've only got a couple minutes left, Carol, and I wanted to thank you for all you're doing and taking the time to be on the show tonight and your article. There's a link to Carol's article with the pictures of these horses on the radio show promo, along with numbers you can call. Marty, are you there?
Yes,
hello,
I am.
Marty.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah,
hello.
Thank you for producing our show. And Marty a show on Thursday night. Marty has a show on Thursday nights called Whistleblowers. And you have two other new shows now. Would you like to tell people the titles of the shows and what night they're on?
Yep, actually we're doing three. On Monday nights is Abolishing Probate, and where we're just determined to collapse this probate system that's preying on the elderly and the disabled, robbing them blind and then killing them. On Tuesday nights, Hospice and Medical Murder. We are being killed at the rate of about $2 million a year through hospice and medical providers, mostly hospitals. We're addressing that issue. Wednesday night, of course, is UDEB with Wild Horse and Burro Radio. Thursday night is Whistleblowers. And on Friday, Tanya talks. And this lady is blowing things up about what's happening in Oklahoma, the corruption in the courts, what's happening to everybody out there, and, of course, no help inside anywhere. But anyway, that's our schedule for the week now. So
Okay. That'll keep you out of trouble or in it.
Yeah, right.
And I want to let everybody know. I wanted to let everybody know that that Eric Molvar of Western Watersheds is going to be on our show this Friday night, so day after tomorrow. So I'll be getting a radio show promo up probably tomorrow night. You might want to share that link around too. That should be a good show. And I want to thank Craig and Jitar and Sherry for calling in, and thank all of you for listening to the show tonight. Take care, everybody, and good night.
Good night.